The Journey, with Sister Faustina. Once I was going down the hall to the kitchen, I heard these words in my soul. Say unceasingly to the chaplet that I have taught you. Whoever will recite it will receive great mercy at hour of death. Priests will recommend it to sinners as the last hope of salvation. Even if there were a sinner most hardened, if he were to recite this chaplet only once, he would receive grace from my infinite mercy. I decide that the whole world knows my infinite mercy. I decide to grant unimaginable graces to those souls who trust in my mercy. Jesus, life and truth, my master, guide every step of my life that I may act according to your holy will. Next paragraph. On one occasion, I saw the throne of the name of God, and before the throne, three saints. Stanislaus Kostka, Andrew Bokola, and Prince Casimir, who were interceding for Poland. All at once, I saw a large book which stands before the throne. It was given to me to read. The book was written in blood. Still, I could not read anything but the name. But the name Jesus. Then I heard a voice which said to me, "Your hour has not yet come." Then the book was taken away from me, and I heard these words, "You will bear witness to my infinite mercy." In this book are written the names of the souls that have glorified my mercy. I was overwhelmed with joy at the sight of such great goodness of God. On one occasion, I came to know of the condition of two religious sisters who were grumbling in theory about an order the superior had given them, and for this reason, God had withheld many graces from them. My heart aged at this sight. How sad it is, O Jesus, when we ourselves are the cause of the loss of graces. Whoever understands this is always faithful. Anything just live with grumbling can lose many graces. So try not to say so many grumbles among within yourself or your friends in the telephone. You lose all the grace, many graces. Be careful. Don't look for consolation from people, only from Him. And you have the grace. Otherwise, you talk less grace and worse. In vicious circle, go to no end. Thursday, although I was very tired today, I left the nest resolved to make a holy hour. I could not pray, but could I remain kneeling? But I remained. Not nor could I remain kneeling, but I remained in prayer for a whole hour and united myself in spirit with those souls who are already worshipping God in the perfect way. United with those people who can pray well. It's nice, eh? Many times we are distracted. So join with those people who are more recollected. Join with those sisters for example, in the Trappist, or in the Trappist Monastery, or Carmelite sister. They were, you know, 4 hours inside, and then join. But towards the end of the hour, I suddenly saw Jesus, who looked at me penetratingly and said with an ineffable sweetness, "Your prayer is extremely pleasing to me. She didn't pray. Just stayed there, joining herself with some other people who can pray better. And Jesus, peace. So nice, eh? Don't blame yourself that you cannot recollect all the time or you have distraction all the time. Join with these people, but not that easily distracted. And join with them. And just one heart, one mind to pray. It's nice, eh? It's a good method. Otherwise, you'll never succeed to pray, because some people can sit well. Some people just one second, and they ought to fly away. After these words, an unusual power and spiritual joy entered my soul. God's presence continued to pervade my soul. Oh, what happens to a soul that meets the Lord face to face? No pain has ever expressed or ever will express. Unity of the Lord is the greatest grace. Oh, Jesus, I understand that your mercy is beyond all imagining, and therefore I ask you to make my heart so big that there will be room in it for the need of all the souls living on the face of the earth. Oh, Jesus, my love extends beyond the world, to the souls suffering in purgatory, and I want to exercise mercy towards them by means of indulgence prayer. God's mercy is unfathomable and inexhaustible, just as God himself is unfathomable. Even if I were to use the strong words they are to express this mercy of God, all this would be nothing in comparison with what it is in reality. Oh Jesus, make my heart sensitive to all the sufferings of my neighbor, whether of body or soul. Oh my Jesus, I know that you act towards us as we act towards our neighbor. So the way we treat people, you got open to people, then we have open heart. Jesus can come to us. If we are narrow-minded towards people, so this narrow-mindedness, the grace cannot come into it also. No, not that Jesus reproach us or revenge. No, because you have a big heart, you can receive bigger grace. Small heart, the grace cannot enter. That's simple. My Jesus, make my heart like unto your merciful heart. Jesus, help me to go through life doing good to everyone. That's important. To everyone. Not only to those you love, but those who love you. Even to those who hate you. Try to love them. Otherwise, I feel very hot. Let me stop me. September 14, 1936. The Archbishop of Vilnius visited us. Although he stayed with us for a very short time, I still had a chance to talk with this worthy priest about the work of mercy. He showed himself very favorably disposed to this cause of mercy. Sister, be completely at peace. If this is within the plans of divine providence, it will come about. In the meantime, sister, pray for clearer outward sign. Let the Lord Jesus give you a clearer knowledge of this. I beg you to wait a little while longer. The Lord Jesus will arrange the circumstances in such a way that everything will turn out all right. Patient. September of 1936, when he left the doctor's office and stepped into the sanatorium chapel of Fibomen, I heard these words in my soul. My child, just a few more drops in your chalice. It won't be long now. Joy filled my soul. This was the first call from my beloved spouse, and master.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you.
My heart melted, and there was a moment when my soul was immersed in the whole sea of God's mercy. I felt that my mission was beginning in all its fullness. Death destroys nothing that is good. I pray most of all for souls that are experiencing inner sufferings. She went to see a doctor, I think. She had got a very bad health by that time. So she's struggling. Before she died, she fulfilled the wish of Jesus. Once I received light concerning two sisters, I understood that it was not possible for a person to act in the same manner towards everyone. There are some people who have a strange way of making friends with others, and then as friends and under the pretext of that friendship, they manage to draw the persons out word by word. Then when the right moment comes, they use those very same words to hurt that person. My Jesus, how strange in human frailty. Your love, Jesus, give the soul this great prudence in its dealing with others. So she didn't express much how people can hurt one another with words. And most properly, that they are two sisters. They can be friends with good words, and then one change, and then with the same words, hurt. September 24, 1936. Mother Superior ordered me to say 1 decade of the rosary in place of all the other exercise and to go to bed at once. Just say 1 decade. Go. As soon as I lay down, I fell asleep, for I was very tired. She looked tired. Otherwise, the superior won't ask me to go to bed. But a while later, I was weakened by suffering. It was such a great suffering that it prevented me from making even the slightest movement. I couldn't even swallow my saliva. This lasted for about 3 hours. You can imagine. I thought of waking up the novice sister who shared my room. But then I thought, she cannot give me any help to let me sleep. No, it would be a pity to wake her. I resigned myself completely to the will of God and thought that the day of my death, so much desired, had come. It was an occasion for me to unite myself with Jesus, suffering on the cross. Beyond that, I was unable to pray. When the suffering ceased, I began to perspire, but I still could not move as the pain would return at each attempt. In the morning, I felt very tired. Though I felt no further physical pain, still I could not get up to attend Mass. Can you imagine? She was very weak. I thought to myself, if such suffering, death, does not come, then how great the suffering of death must be. This dying woman then cannot die. So you can imagine what will be happen next. Jesus, you know that I love suffering and want to drain the cup of suffering to the last drop. And yet, my nature experienced a slight shudder and fear. Quickly, however, my trust in the infinite mercy of God was awakened in all his force, and everything else had to give way before Jesus. How great is your goodness! Even you suffer, you think, thank you, Jesus. No? That's the way. Even she can't breathe, she can't swallow her saliva. You can imagine, for 3 hours, and she shared the suffering of Jesus, of the other people, but trust always, trust the love of Jesus, even he can swallow saliva. Oh Jesus, how great is your goodness, your infinite goodness, so well known to me, enables me to bravely look death itself in the eye. I know that nothing will happen to me without God's permission. So remember, whatever happened with God's permission, He knows everything. If someone bad to you, Jesus knows it. Say, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Always this sentiment. I decide to glorify your infinite mercy during my life, at the hour of death, in the resurrection, and throughout eternity. That's how. My Jesus, my peace, my strength, my peace, my repose, my soul bathes daily in the rays of your mercy. There's not a moment in my life when I do not experience your mercy, O Lord. I count on nothing in my whole tonight, but only on your infinite mercy. It is the guide. It's a guiding thread of my life. O God, my soul is filled with God's mercy. Oh, how sorely Jesus is hurt by the ingratitude of a chosen soul. What a martyrdom it is for his unspeakable love, who loves us with entire infinite being that he is. And imagine, a miserable particle of dust scorns that love. My heart bursts with pain when I see this ingratitude. Jesus suffered more, not of course the physical pain, but still worse is ingratitude. The same way, you know, you do good to your friends, your relatives, and in return, they hate you. They speak evil against you at the back. Imagine. On one occasion, I heard these words. My daughter, tell the whole world about my inconceivable mercy. I decide that the feast of mercy be a refuge and shelter for all souls, and especially for poor sinners. Go to Jesus. If we recognize ourselves as sinners, go to Jesus. And as you consider yourself a saint, okay, you stand. On that day, the very depths of my tender mercy are open. I pour out the whole ocean of graces upon those souls who approach the font of my mercy, the soul that will go to confession and receive Holy Communion, so obtain complete forgiveness of sins and punishment. On that day, all the divine floodgates through which grace flowed are opened. Let no soul fear to draw near to me, even though its sins be as scarlet. My mercy is so great that no mind, be it of man or of angel, will be able to fathom it throughout all eternity. Everything that exists has come forth from the very depths of my most tender mercy. Every soul in its relation to me will contemplate my love and mercy throughout eternity. The feast of mercy emerged from my very depths of tenderness. It is my desire that it be solemnly celebrated on the first Sunday after Easter. Mankind will not have peace until it turns to the font of my mercy. The only way out, trust in God's mercy. Once when I was very tired and in such pain, I told Mother Superior about it and received the answer that I should get used to suffering. I listened to everything the Mother told me, and then I went out. Our Mother Superior has great love for neighbor, and especially great love for the sick sisters, as everyone knows. And yet, as regards me, it is extraordinary that the Lord Jesus has permitted that she does not understand me, and that she tests me such in this respect. No consolation from the Superior. There's a pain, the pain of Jesus on the cross. But God, why you forsaking me? The times forsaking by superior is a time when you share the pain of Jesus. Any superior, your superior. For us, if sometimes we understood by a bishop or the other, our superior, it's a very hard thing, no? If even you explained it and they want to stand and still keep this, then as if take for granted you're wrong, it can happen. It's a pain. On this particular day, when I was feeling so bad and still went to work, every now and then I would feel sick. It was very hot that, even without working, the person felt terrible. Not to mention that it was like when one had to work while suffering. So before noon, I straightened up from my work, looked up to the sky, and great trust, and said to my Lord, "Jesus, cover the sun, for I cannot stand in this heat any longer." She was very sick. And oh wonder, at that very moment, a white cloud covered the sun, and then on, the heat became less intense. When a little while later, I began to reproach myself that I did not bear the heat, but begged for relief. Jesus himself put me at ease. Should feel sorry, no? She should continue to thank you, Jesus, for this heat. But then she asked, "What can you cover?" No. Very genuine simplicity. At times we realize that, no? We pray for this and that and that, and suddenly say, "Oh, come on, we should suffer, we should continue, we should be strong, you know?" It's like that, you know, to and fro. August 13, 1936. Tonight, God's presence invaded me, and in an instant, I come to know the great holiness of God. Oh, how the greatness of God overwhelms me. I then come to know the whole depth of my nothingness. This is great torment, for this knowledge is followed by love. When you feel you're nothing, and then you're embraced by love. Only we are proud. That pride keeps us away from God a little bit. You think, "I'm strong, I can work, I can do much goodness to people." You don't feel your weakness. And only the day we recognize that we are weak, we are nothing, and embrace the love of God, then we feel just we are in heaven. The soul bounds forward vehemently toward God, and the two loves come face to face, the Creator and the creature. Love. One little drop seeks to measure itself with the ocean. We have just one drop of water into the big ocean. We are embraced. It's the same idea of Sister Teresa of Lisieux, no? That we are just a little drop of water into the ocean of God's love. We are immersed in this love. So, have this image in yourself. You know, we are being loved completely. Big love, no? You have one drop of water into the ocean. Imagine, not a basin of water, ocean. You feel that. You really live in love itself. You are secured. We share the sovereign of Jesus at times, being forsaken by superior, by your boss, by your mom, whatever. At first, the little drop wants to enclose the infinite ocean within itself, but at the same moment, it knows itself to be just one small drop. And thus it is vanquished, and it passed completely into God like a drop into the ocean. At first, this moment is a torment, but so sweet that on experiencing it, the soul is happy. The joy is only in the Lord, in God. Have this kind of feeling. Try to imagine yourself just like a drop of water into Jesus. At present, the topic of my particular exam is my union with the merciful Christ. This practice gives me unusual strength. My heart is always united with the one it desires, and its actions are regulated by mercy, which flows from love. I spend every free moment at the feet of the hidden God. He is my master. I ask him about everything. I speak to him about everything. Hence I obtain strength and tights and light. Here I learned everything. Here I am given lights on how to act towards my neighbor. From the time I left the novitiate, I have enclosed myself in the tabernacle together with Jesus, my master. He himself drew me into the fire of living one on which everything converges. So this kind of, when she went out of the house, as if she was inside the tabernacle of Jesus. So she keep herself inside with Jesus, whatever you do. Or in other words, we are the living tabernacle. Keep Jesus. And this is one of the beautiful expressions, no? From John Paul II, the year of the Eucharist. And he mentioned that our Heavenly Mother is the first tabernacle on earth. She is the one who keeps Jesus in her womb. And we, whenever we receive the Holy Communion, we become a tabernacle for Jesus and keep this Jesus alive in your daily life. Not just 1 second. September 25th, I suffered great pain in my hands, feet, and side, the places where Jesus' body was pierced. I experienced these pains particularly when I meet with a soul who is not in a state of grace. Then I pray fervently that the mercy of God will embrace that soul. So whenever you suffer, perhaps somebody needs your help through your suffering. You offer your suffering for people who need it. Jesus knows. If you're ready, you're open to God, you tell him. You offer yourself to be his instrument for the forgiveness of sin for others. So we need somebody to do some penance. Is it good? It's heavy, eh? Life is already heavy. And if you support the other people. And this love. When you have this courage, it's a bigger love. Trust you have this love. Don't hesitate. Don't tell yourself, oh, I'm weak, I cannot. Everybody can. Have this openness of mind. If Jesus invites you to share with him, say yes, no. God is open. Open invitation for each one of us to say yes. To follow him. To follow him means to live like him. Offer your life some pain together with him. We trust in the mercy of God, Jesus.